Montero Consulting welcomes you to the Anywhere Office with Phil and Jason Montero. In the next hour, Phil and Jason take a big picture approach to the philosophies and strategies of navigating today's digital lifestyle. Turn up your speakers and don't click that mouse. Here are your hosts, Phil and Jason Montero.
Hey, welcome back to the Anywhere Office. Phil Montero here.
And Jason Montero.
And we'd like to welcome to our show about living a digital lifestyle and navigating the changing world of work.
Phil and I are sitting here in our Anywhere office, and the feng shui is flowing.
It's flowing
today. Even with the construction going on right outside, hear any jackhammering and stuff, that's just the feng shui flowing.
That's right.
What it sounds like.
That's the noise it makes. One of the things we're going to focus on today's show, the topic of today's show, is knee-deep in the digital lifestyle. And last week we kind of went through an overview of what some of the concepts were of the Anywhere Office, and we talked about both living a digital lifestyle and how that affects work as well, the changing world of work. And this week we're going to really look more on the digital lifestyle side of things, which is really how the technology that's come along has changed the way that people live their lives on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, everything from the way people receive their entertainment, to the way they work, to the way they interact, to the way they communicate with friends and family and coworkers. It really affects all of these things.
It really does. Banking, ATM machines, like we talked about, self-checkout.
TiVo, iPods. You see it a lot, I think, in the entertainment industry in particular, are often first innovators of these things. And to watch them, they're like a glacier, I feel, sometimes, and they only react to something when they absolutely have to. So to see them start to change the way they deliver television programming, see them change the way they sell entertainment, sell movies, sell television shows, it, to me, is always a warning sign that there is large changes afoot.
Yeah, the MP3 and the whole digital music area has really been, I think, a big indicator of that. I mean, some of the music businesses now, they're starting to embrace it, and I think it really was primarily iTunes coming out and Macintosh showing that people were willing to and interested in buying and downloading digital music, and the widespread growth and of the iPods and the MP3 players like that, that forced the music industry to kind of take a look and step back and say, okay, well, we can either fight this or we're going to have to figure out, you know, how
to. I always think it's funny sometimes when people talk about how it's a new concept that they sell songs one song at a time. And I'm remembering that box, that Batman box you had that, with all the 45 singles in it.
But I still have that box. It was a superhero 45 holder. And that's true. I mean, it used to be that you didn't have to buy a whole album. You just found one song that you liked or one track, and you could go out and buy that as a single, and then you got the great B-side to it, which was always the advantage.
Right. I guess you don't get the B-side on iTunes.
So. Not really, but, you do get extra songs thrown in sometimes if you buy a digital album that way.
Sure enough.
And do that type of thing. And that actually leads us into our first segment. I think we mentioned last week, too, that the show is really going to be broken down into segments now, rather than us just talking the whole time. And one of the things that we're going to do first here is our mailbag segment, which is where we will answer voicemails or voice messages that came in or emails that we've received since the last show and try to answer some of those things or talk about some of these topics. And last week we got a message from Jerry Ortiz, who is a singer from the very talented doo-wop group Shaboom.
Shaboom's also out of Florida, and we've had some interactions with these fellas again, and Jerry asks how some of these concepts here and the ideas behind the Anywhere Office, how they can be of use or how they can be beneficial to musicians. And man, Jerry, you are opening the floodgates there, because that's really a topic we could probably talk about and often do talk about for hours and hours and hours, being musicians ourselves, Phil and I, and having played in bands and toured in groups and all these things, for me was part of discovering how powerful a lot of these ideas and tools were through trying to apply them to exactly the question you're asking. How can these help musicians, and I'd say like artists in general, is very similar in a lot of ways. I feel like to a musician whose work has always been remote and has always been, with touring, which you have to do, especially as an independent musician. And I Phil and I, when we talk about this, a lot of times we're going to default to how this affects independent musicians and not necessarily somebody on an RCA or on a Columbia who has massive resources.
Yeah, we're not talking about Aerosmith here as much as we are, you know, a local band that might be touring among.
And not that Aerosmith is not taking advantage of these tools and resources.
No,
they have. You know, when you look at a CD or a new album that comes out, and it comes out on CD and it has added multimedia content on it, or if you go to their website and they have a mailing list on there, you know, I'm sure that Steven Tyler is not sitting in a room somewhere emailing people back. You
know, come on, he does that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he probably does. You're right.
He sent me an email.
He did. He's a very cool cat. But some of the ways that you can use this, Jerry, and I know in part this is sort of rhetorical, we've spent some time with the guys from Shaboom, and they're doing some of these things already. They're using some of these ideas to help move their project along. Right off the gate, I would say one way is the use of an autoresponder, and this is a tool for people who don't know that kind of automates mailing list maintenance and email. You can automate the replies to certain emails and things like that, and I know Shaboom's already using this to manage their mailing list and keep in touch with people and let them know where they're playing. It's a community building tool, and it can also be used a lot of times. It's just your creativity once you have the tool in place, and we find obviously that a lot of musicians and artists are very creative people, and once the tool is in place, sometimes the tool is an idea for a way that you can use it.
Some of the ways that they're using it is, they're again using it to update people about their shows and things like that. They're in the process of what a lot of musicians will do is put a digital press kit out there, which is one thing you can do where people can download information about your band or the press can get information.
Yeah, or a booking package, that's right. So if a club's looking to book your band, rather than just contacting somebody and you having to put that package together and send it out, they can send an email to an address that you set up beforehand and they get sent the package automatically.
That's the way that works. And that saves, kind of what we're talking about, which is why do monotonous tasks that automation and technology can do for you. If you can maintain your mailing list and have people subscribe or unsubscribe from a mailing list or get frequently asked questions or information from you without having to do all of that manually, well, then that's a plus.
Right. Not to overlook one of the most obvious ways you can use this is as a musician or as any kind of artist, just the fact that you can put music on your website, that somebody can go there and listen to what it is you do. That's, you know, if they see a poster for your band, they don't necessarily know what you sound like or whatever.
You can't listen to a poster. Last I checked, at least, you can't hear a poster. But an MP3 or some flash music on the site.
Voices in my head, then. The poster
must be. I told you about
But you're right. And I think video, too. When you're talking about an independent band or a band that's playing regionally, if somebody's not in Florida, and Shaboom's based out of Florida, the Port St. Lucie area, if somebody got turned on to your band, and they're not going to have an opportunity to see you because maybe they live on the West Coast or they live in the Midwest or they live up in New York. Some of these boys are from New York. In fact, all of these boys are from New York. And so if somebody up there wanted to hear what they were doing, or you put a video on there and they get to see you playing, it's this community building that used to happen in a very grassroots way, and people coming to a show can now happen more digitally. And I don't think that really depersonalizes it. I think that's the fear that a lot of people have, is doing some of these things digitally.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of what kind of strategy you apply to the tools that you have. And that's, you know, we talked last week again about, you know, how is this technology used? It can either, you know, you can become a servant to it, or you can use it as a tool as it's intended. And, you know, having a high touch or personalized content to or side to what's a digital medium. Very often people think, oh, email and voicemail and these things have made things less personalized. But I would argue to say that if you're used properly, they can be more personalized. You can have a one-on-one connection with a large group of people that you couldn't have had before through things. I mean, look at this radio show as a perfect example. I mean, we're able to go and get this message out and talk with you, and you can hear what we're talking about, and you can call us, and we can interact all through the fact of this digital medium that's available.
Yeah, so people are going to Shaboom's site, and now as opposed to maybe if you were just getting that postcard in the mail like we used to do in a band, we would send out these mail postcards, trying to get people out to the show. Now if they come to that site, they can see you, they can hear you, they can interact, they can communicate with you. And I think the street teams, for anyone who doesn't know what a street team is, what a lot of bands have started to do with this community building power of the internet and these digital tools is that we'll get a group of fans in different areas who will contribute their time and help promote a show if you're touring through a region. Some people in a city where you don't live and maybe you can't do the groundwork and go to the local music stores or the local paper, and they will get supporters of theirs or fans of theirs, people in their community in that area to do this kind of groundwork for them as a street team, and they'll do it in exchange for, you know, free entry into a show or a t-shirt or a special CD.
Download of a special song, exactly, mm-hmm. That type of thing. One of the things we'd like to do, again, is so that I think that answers that question. And, again, we could talk about this. Yeah, and we'll probably do a whole show specifically on how musicians and artists can use these type of things. But we'd like to also take a moment now to thank Voice of America, Voice of America Business, particularly for broadcasting this show and giving us this opportunity. And also we'd like to give a shout-out and a thanks to our sponsor, Citrix, who is the maker of GoToMyPC and GoToMeeting.
All right, we got to roll off to a break here. We got coming up, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some stuff we found in the news, some articles in the news related to digital lifestyle, and we'll be back in just a short while.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Does your commute sound like this? Or this? The choice is yours. You can work from anywhere.com.
Welcome back to the Anywhere Office. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 866-472-5790 or email radioshow@theanywhereoffice.com. Now back to the show. Here are Phil and Jason.
Hey, welcome back to the Anywhere Office, our show about living a digital lifestyle and navigating the changing world of work. Today's topic is knee-deep in the digital lifestyle, and they just gave the number right there that you can call to join in during the show if you have questions or comments, or you can email us at radioshow@theanywhereoffice.com, or you can leave us a voice message at any time.
So one of the things we'd like to get into now is our in-the-news section, and we came across a couple of really interesting pieces of information in the news, some studies that were done recently, I think Nielsen reported on these, that I think really apply to this concept of the digital lifestyle and why this is being, people are embracing it, and it's really changing the way we live. And one of the things, and Jason and I talk about this quite often, which is the proliferation of broadband and high-speed internet access, which clearly changes the way that media, particularly TV, music, streaming of video and things like that, are done on the internet. And what they recently did a study to find out that I think it's for the first time actually it's actually reached over 50%, is that broadband users of internet, the percentage of breakdown users of home users that have internet access has eclipsed. It's 72% as of 2006. 72% of internet users are actually surfing the internet on a high-speed internet connection, and only 28% are using what they call narrow band or dial-up access. Whereas as last year, 2005, that was only about 57% using broadband access. So, I mean, you're talking about 102 million people surfing the internet on a high-speed internet access.
That really is an amazing change in what's been going on. And a lot of that seems to me, I've been seeing more and more ads for these companies who kind of roll it all into one. They'll give you your television and your cable and your telephone and your internet access all for one flat rate, and it's starting to become very affordable. And the reason I think that's highly significant, beyond the obvious, being able to maybe, you know, watch video or stream audio on the internet, is as we like to talk a lot about how this is a communication tool, and it's a new communication tool that people use to stay in touch and to do things in a different way. And having that broadband access really allows you to do real-time video conferencing and share large files back and forth. And beyond that, just the idea that you could have a product that is a digital product, some kind of information product. You could have an ebook that's a couple meg, or you could be delivering a DVD of some kind.
Or the audio files like we talked about that people purchase off of iTunes.
That's exactly right. And the fact that that can be delivered instantly and online.
Yeah, when dial-up was prevalent, the thought of having to spend an hour to download maybe a song file that you purchased or a book would be, you know, that would have been a stumbling block or an obstacle to being able to sell product like that over
the and automate the delivery of it.
That's right. But now that we have this high-speed internet access, it's changing. In fact, I was reading in an article just the other day, and I'm seeing ads for it, that AOL now, and we'll put this link on the site, it's AOL/IntoTV, with the two being a two, is actually starting to broadcast old TV shows, including one of my personal favorites, which is Kung Fu, David Carradine.
So, I can't believe I've even seen you since Kung Fu.
I was going to say, if I haven't had a hard time getting my work done before, now that I can watch Kung Fu streaming over the internet anytime I want, grasshopper.
It's a little alarming.
Much work.
Yeah, and Phil said something there just made me think. We have a blog at our website that's theanywhereoffice.com. And a lot of times we mention resources, or when we talk to people or about people on this show, or we talk about tools or news articles, what we try and do is we go into the blog after the broadcast and we post links to a lot of these things. So rather than sit here and be like, you can find that at www.whatever.com, we just roll through and then we'll just post links at the end. And if you guys go by that blog, we really encourage you to, you know, post messages and kind of contribute to this conversation, call in live during the show. We'd really want to open this up and kind of, you know,
make it more of a living dialogue. And if you have suggestions for links and resources that you've seen that are great, then email us and let us know about that.
Great. So, yeah, so we'll post a link to this stuff we're talking about here about the broadband.
Thing.
Yeah.
And Kung Fu, of course.
And Kung Fu. The next segment we'd like to get into here is a little website spotlight, and we're going to use this segment to look at a particular website that relates to what we're talking about in each program, and then kind of take a closer look at that and point people out at some stuff that we find when we're out there that either entertains, amuses, or blows us away.
And so, this week, we're gonna look at the website spotlight for this week, and differently than what you think it might be, is actually Google. And usually when you hear Google, you think of a search engine. You think of, oh, great, Google, the most popular and probably most powerful search engine where people go to find information.
It's become a verb. We were just hearing that it was added to the dictionary this year as a verb.
As a verb. Webster has accepted it. So when you Google somebody, that and bling.
Bling is the other word that got added.
That's the other word that got added to the dictionary.
Wow, Google and bling.
So, I wonder if I search bling on Google, what would that be? I don't know.
But did you mean blink? It's going to say.
But the thing is about Google that's really interesting and talked about catering to a digital lifestyle is that Google has a host of services that really don't have anything to do with searching, but that add additional functionality and features that you can use. And a lot of these are dependent on having this broadband or this high-speed internet access like we're talking
about. Yeah, if you go to google.com, you'll see above the search box there where you put in your search string, there's a link that's called More. And I myself never visited that until about maybe 5 or 6 months ago. And if you click there, you'll see a bunch of tools, and many or all of them are free. And it is amazing the amount of things that these folks have their fingers in. There's one, just to highlight a few of them, there's one called Picasa I got turned on to. That's a tool that you install that, and then what it does is catalogs every single image on your computer. So you open up that program, and you look in there, and it gives you a thumbnail, and you can look through every folder in every drive on your machine, and all it shows you is a thumbnail of all the images. So if you're somebody like myself who has pictures from here and pictures from there and images for web design and images for print design, and you're, where did I stick that icon of underdog with the binoculars? You go, and you just open that up, and you scroll through there, and oh, there he is.
And it's amazing, because it shows you all the thumbnails, and you can quickly scroll through them. And see that stuff. And kind of hand in hand with that, which is another thing that I find incredibly powerful, is Google Desktop, which when installed lets you search. It'll catalog, much the way that the Google search does, all of the files on your machine, all of the emails that you have in Outlook. And I've started relying on that, and literally the other day I was looking for an email that I had sent years ago, and much quicker than the Outlook search, within minutes I was able to find that.
That is a time saver. Some more of them. If you want the wow effect, you go to Google Earth. That is an amazing program.
Oh, man.
And it's ineffable. You have to see it to see what it does. They have Frugal, which is just for shopping. It's a search. Again, that one is search, but it's search just for deals and prices on stuff. So if you go to Google.com and you click that More link and just start to investigate some of the stuff on there, you'll see that really, like you were saying, Phil, Google Video, right?
That's a relatively newer thing they've done. And again, it's allowing people, anyone, to post a video up there and share it with the world.
That's right. So that's our digital lifestyle website spotlight today.
That's
we're going to roll off to a break. When we come back, we're going to get with
Sam Bushman and Jay Harrison from Tech Watch Radio.
And we'll be back in just a short one.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Montero Consulting is a workplace consulting group that assists businesses to take advantage of mobile work technology and create more effective virtual teams. Our consulting, training, and coaching have delivered proven results for diverse industries. We accomplish this through a combination of our knowledge of technology, management experience, leadership skills, strategic communication focus, and an understanding of organizational behavior. Collectively, our core consultants have over 30 years of experience managing and working with and on virtual and multifunctional teams. Our expertise in remote collaboration also allows us to partner with a plethora of specialists and service providers to deliver custom solutions for our clients. To learn more about our services and to explore our collection of products relating to remote work, visit us at monteroconsulting.com. Montero Consulting, in business for yourself, not by yourself.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome back to the Anywhere Office. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 866-472-5790 or email radioshow@theanywhereoffice.com. Now back to the show. Here are Phil and Jason.
Hey, Phil here. Welcome back to the Anywhere Office, our show about living a digital lifestyle and navigating the changing world of work. And what we'd like to do now is welcome on our guests. In fact, the first guests we've had on the show since launching it last week. These are two gentlemen that will definitely be able to help you with living a digital lifestyle. And we'd like to welcome Sam Bushman and Jay Harrison, hosts of TechWatch Radio. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Phil and Jason. How are you?
Very good.
All right.
Now,
the show TechWatch Radio
airs
every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can go to techwatchradio.com, and much like our show, you can tune in live online. And guys, that show is also distributed via satellite, too. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. And
on the
so is there information there on the site also how they could tune in that way if it's available in their area?
Yep.
And not only are we on satellite, we are on several radio stations as well. And if you have a radio station in your area that you'd like to pick up the program, please let us know, and we'll do our best to help get the program on.
Great. And their show covers technology from the side of how it relates to our lives and how you can best use it. So, why don't you just tell us a little bit about the show itself and what kind of stuff that you normally talk about on there?
I'll go first, Jay, and then you can take a crack. To me, the thing about technology is, in my mind, a lot of times you're either one, a person that's intimidated by it, and it's a struggle, and you're just overwhelmed all the time, and you just feel like you're out of your element. Or the second person is so consumed, they're so capable of technology, it's almost as if their whole life is technology, and technology controls them, so to speak. I kind of like to take the middle road and say, listen, I'm plenty techie, but I don't want to be techie every second. I don't want to babysit my technology. It's kind of like the idea when you have things in life, after a while you say, my gosh, my things control me. I'm too busy babysitting my things to do anything, right?
Right.
And so to me, you kind of try to create that middle balance where you say, hey, I want to let technology serve me, not own me. So that's kind of the perspective that I take as we put things on the kitchen table for folks to kind of listen and understand. We make it easy to understand. We look at technology from a perspective that says, hey, how can it best serve you and do things for you, not be a problem, Jay?
Well, I would agree with all of that, and I would also say, you know, we also put the show up just to bring people interesting news bits and what's in the news tech-wise, and also take calls and answer people's questions.
Great, and I've always enjoyed your show, and I know you cover a wide variety of topics and things. Now, one of the things is you guys are not located in the same area when you do this show. Is that correct?
That's right.
And so I think, Jay, you're down here in Florida like we are right now.
Yep, I'm in North Florida.
North Florida. And Sam?
I'm out in the Rocky Mountains in Utah, and I broadcast from a home studio that I've built myself over an ISDN line to Jay's studio, which is the uplink facility as well. So it's a radio studio in Florida with an uplink to the satellites, and then it's distributed to the radio stations and to the Internet and a variety of places from there. But I'm actually at a remote location via ISDN or special phone line for broadcast quality signals from my home studio built by myself.
So we can tell you're not techie at all there, Sam, building your own home studio.
For the most part, most people don't even know. I mean, you can't tell necessarily on the air that we're in different studios. It sounds like we're both broadcasted from the same room.
That is awesome.
It's true. Now, being that far away, how did you guys come to do this show together? I mean, did you know each other from some other life in working somewhere together, or how did that happen?
I'll let Sam go, though.
All right. Kind of a strange situation. I was a talk show host for a different network that's no longer on the air. Jay was actually working for that network and took care of a lot of details for my show and was a producer and that kind of thing for my show. We became friends over that, met in Florida a couple of times at some radio conventions, etc., and we've just been great friends ever since. Well, I did political stuff, and Jay was basically a behind-the-scenes guy, setting up interviews and taking care of the engineering and, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. And then we both were technical, and we always talked about technology and things that we were doing with some of our stuff, and we were just like, you know, we got to do a technology show, and it was a dream. And then one day we just decided, you know what, forget this dream stuff. Let's make it happen.
That's great. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, so I assume.
I'd like to ask you guys a question. You do the show on technology, and a question I like to ask folks just to kind of pick their brain is that, barring, say, the Internet or the personal computer, what would you say is the most significant piece of technology to come out in, say, the last 10 or 15 years?
I'm going to let Jay go first, and then I've got a couple of them that are a variety of things. Some of them are brand new, but others are kind of like how they relate to our lives. Go, Jay.
Well, one I think is digital players, like the iPod and all the other ones that are out there, the Sansas and all those. I think that's revolutionizing the way media is carried by people and listened to by people, and especially now with video iPods, that whole revolution of being on the go and taking stuff. I think the next big step will be when we get real IP Internet connections in cars.
Huh.
Now, Jay's main point is even if I were to send you a CD with my files on it or something like that, you could take that, put it on your iPod, have a ton of stuff to listen to, even if we didn't have the net.
Do it every day.
I was thinking the other day how great it would be if you could literally be in the mood to hear a particular song and download it right to your car while you're driving. And I think that's what you're talking about there, Jay, right, with
yeah.
An IP network in the car?
Yeah, where you'd be able to listen to, say, the network stream or anything. You just have instant access where you wouldn't have to preload your stuff. But I think that even with the preloading of things onto small devices has been a big revolution that we've seen in the last 6 years or so.
Jay, not to imply you're Nostradamus, Jay, but how far off would you, in your estimation, how far off do you think we are from something like that?
From IP in the car and on the go?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I would have thought 6 years ago, I thought we were 5 years away from it.
But let's talk about reality, though. When you say how long, are you talking about till it can be done or till the average American has it where it's ubiquitous?
Yeah, I always think until it's just prevalent, until it, people,
I
till,
say 12
till
years,
in school
years.
Doesn't know any different, like, you know, like the internet now, it's just part of their world.
I think that actually in some cities it's already being done. Cities
right.
that have Wi-Fi, you know, through the whole city that's being done, but for the average person across the country, I would have to side with Sam and say more like 12 or 15 years.
Well, yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean we know. We're just guessing, of course.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you.
But that's what I think. Now, my idea is on a couple of things in the last 10 years, what has really changed technology-wise or what new has been brought to the table. I would say cell phones. And I know you're going to laugh at me and say, Sam, I had a brick in 1986 or something. But look, even in 94, 95, 91, 2, you were a freak if you got on your cell phone and were talking everywhere. People just thought, you know, who does that big shot think he is or whatever.
Right.
And now it's almost like if you don't have a cell phone, it's like, what? How do I get a hold of you? And so I would say that's one huge change that really has taken place.
Yeah, I that's agree. I mean, you do see people with those everywhere, and it's like the thought of you looking for a payphone sometimes now. In fact, you're noticing less and less payphones even in public places where they would have been before, I think, because cell phones like that.
Payphone, what's that?
Sam, this is Jay. I am one of those freaks. I literally got my first cell phone a year ago, and people used to look at me like I could show you the look if I could look at you right now, that like I had nine heads.
I used to look at him like that, and sometimes I still do.
That's something totally different, though, guys. Now, the other interesting thing, and this is, again, our technology show is not just based on computers. Most people do a computer show. We do a technology show. Sometimes we talk about the galaxy. Sometimes we talk about the space missions. Sometimes we talk about just strange things that are just technology related. This is not a new item in the last 10, 15 years that have been brought to the table, but I say it's really changed. It used to be air conditioning was if you were rich or if you went into a hotel or a big old department store, you'd get air conditioning, but most of us didn't really have a ton of air conditioning. It was expensive. It was, you know, the units weren't very good. You could only run them partially, or, hey, you had to keep them 85 degrees. Now everybody's got air conditioning. It's cheap. It's everywhere. And that's kind of strange. I just know 15, 20 years ago, hey, if somebody didn't have air conditioning, it was, oh, okay. Now it's like, man, you got to get it yesterday.
That's a good point, particularly where we are here in Florida, where the hurricane season often takes our power out for sometimes weeks at a time. Here you find people, and like we talked about before it becomes so prevalent, air conditioning has become such a necessity to people here because they're so accustomed to it that they have generators just to power their air conditioning when
yeah.
the power goes out.
I'm one of those guys.
You know, like you said before, it wouldn't have, you know, some people just didn't even have it. Now it's almost like a necessity.
Yeah, I'm not saying people didn't have air conditioning 10, 15 years ago. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm just suggesting to tell me it was a necessity would have been laughable then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now it's like, well, of course.
Yeah, and that's the first time anyone's ever
totally
answered air conditioning.
Like
Phil saying, I'd lived in Phoenix, Arizona for 10 years, and if you found a house that was older than the 1970s, a lot of times it just had a swamp cooler and it didn't have an air conditioning unit at all.
So that's one interesting difference that I've noticed or change that I think. And the last thing, if I can go that far, the proliferation of food and some of those kind of things. And again, you could say this isn't very high tech, but man, I eat high tech. Is that, you know, you could get food before, and there was restaurants, but they weren't everywhere. In other words, the mentality of humans have changed. It used to be to where you went out on a special occasion. You went out. Now it's almost like you stay home on a special occasion, and going out's the norm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's interesting, too, because, again, like you said, you guys do talk about all kinds of tech on this, and you would think, yo, they're going to be talking about cell phones or computers or that type of thing. But, I mean, I think those two answers right there show that you really deal with a much broader topic. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about, you know, again, a digital lifestyle really is just the way it's changed everything we do, you know, to that standpoint. I think it's prevalent. It is. I mean, just the technology and things, like I said, it ramps up that way, I think, over a period of time, where it becomes a very different world than what we were used to. And then suddenly we look back at it, and it's closer than we thought it was, but farther away, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, one of the new things that's interesting, too, is, you know, 15 years ago, people didn't know what an email address is. Now everybody knows what an email address is. In fact, if you don't have one, it's like, well, come on. But the interesting thing is now IM for the younger generation, instant messaging is becoming that way. They're kind of saying, I don't want to use old email. It's not real time. It's this and that. And some of the older generation is saying, wait a minute, email is the business staple. And IM is just kind of a kiddie's toy, but I think that's changing too. So I think the reason I bring it up is that one is look back the last 10 years, next is look forward the next 10 years. I believe there'll be a whole lot more IM-type applications that become more mainstream, not just a kid's toy, but become business usable, if you will.
Yeah, in real time, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Text messaging and instant messaging.
Yeah, I think you see that with a lot of any of the collaboration things. I mean, text messaging on the phone and, you know, even collaboration, which we talk a lot about, that remote collaboration used to be, like you said, email or posting a document up that somebody else could download. But now if you can't discuss documents or edit them real time or have live video or audio that way, then that's really where people are starting to consider those tools there. So we're going to take a little break here, and then we are going to come back with Sam and Jay and talk some more about the digital lifestyle and a little bit about entertainment. So stay tuned.
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Hi, this is Phil Montero, founder of YouCanWorkFromAnywhere.com, and I'd like to give you some of your time back. In my 15 years mentoring virtual teams and entrepreneurs, I found literally hundreds of quick, easy-to-understand tips, tricks, and shortcuts. In the Anywhere Office ebook series, you can get my top tips about email, laptops, home offices, Palm Pilots, and virtual teams. If you act right now, you can get all 5 tip books for the price of 4, less than the cost of a tank of gas. Just visit YouCanWorkFromAnywhere.com and click on the Products tab. Then start thinking about what you're going to do with all that free time.
Welcome back to the Anywhere Office. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 866-472-5790 or email radioshow@theanywhereoffice.com. Now back to the show. Here are Phil and Jason.
Hey, Jason here. Welcome back to the Anywhere Office and our show today, Knee Deep in the Digital Lifestyle. And we're here with our guests, Sam and Jay, the hosts of Tech Watch Radio. How you guys doing?
Excellent. And I just got thinking the Anywhere Offices will change in the last 10 years, too.
Yeah.
That was a dream before, guys.
That's right. And let's just take a second right here on the front side. If you guys want to contact Jay and Sam, or if you want to listen to their show, do you guys have some contact information that you can give out?
Absolutely. You can email us directly, talk, T-A-L-K, at techwatchradio.com, or you can check out the website, which is techwatchradio.com. It's no spaces, of course, but even if you put in Google, you just put in TechWatch Radio. Usually if you hit, you know, the first link, it'll pull right up there.
Great. And how long have you guys been doing that show?
We've been doing it for, we were off for a little while, but we've been doing it for, coming up on 2 years now. Two or 3 years, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back.
Different incarnations is why we're
hesitating. I'm a fan. I listen to your show a lot, and you guys did take a little brief hiatus there, but let me just say welcome back.
Okay.
One of the things I'd like to ask you, being that you have been doing the show for a while, is what is, you know, just one of the oddest things that, and maybe I'm trying to ask this so that, you know, Jason and I here can prepare for something that might happen to us, but what would you say is one of the oddest or strangest things that's happened to you while doing your show?
Well, I can remember one time that we were on the air, and of course, you know, like we've covered a little earlier, we're in separate locations, and the ISDN disconnected from Sam. And so I was trying to, you know, I also, while I'm on the air and stuff, I'm also doing the board hopping and the production and stuff like that, the behind-the-scenes stuff while I'm on the air. And a lot of times why Sam will do guest interviews and stuff, because I'm handling that behind-the-scenes stuff. Well, he disconnected on the air, and, you know, we had, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes till the next break. And so I'm trying to carry the show by myself and at the same time get him reconnected and dial him up and all that other stuff. So that was a little hectic that time.
What Sam didn't tell you is he was actually just going for a sandwich.
Yeah, that's right. Gotta get him out and do, man.
He's just leaving me hanging there.
He just left you hanging.
Well, now, actually, what happened to me one time, this is really strange, and this was in more of the days of analog and radio before we had ISDN lines, but somehow my son got on the other line. And he's like, Dad, I want to be on the radio, man. And I'm like, well, he was already on the radio, right? Anyway, it was kind of a problem because he couldn't talk him off of it, and I couldn't leave to go get him off of it, and nobody else was around to stop him, and it was just, anyway, that happened to me one time, and that was It actually turned out okay, because what I did, instead of just trying to fight it, I just, at first I kind of was surprised, but I quickly made it, you know, like, hey, he can join me.
Nice.
And we just made the best of what we had, because I couldn't
really
laugh.
How old was he when he did this, Sam?
What's that?
How old was he when he did this?
Oh, he was like 6 years old, 5 years old. And so he just thought that he wanted to talk to me about being on the radio. The problem is he was already on. So that was quite a unique experience that now that we have ISDN certainly won't be repeated.
No, sure.
But it was interesting. And it was rough. It was challenging.
I'd like to ask you about that.
To a good radio person that you can
on the fly. When we were talking about the most significant technology, you talked about MP3 players and the ability to kind of carry your media with you and listen to it. But I think one of the things that's been one of the largest changes is the way media and the entertainment industry has changed with this technology. And one of the things that I think we're finding, particularly with the broadband, like we talked about earlier in the news segment about so many more people having broadband, is the ability for video and audio and almost a blurring of TV, radio, and internet. And I know that there are devices now. I mean, you've got TiVo where you could, you know, record a show and watch it later. And then there's also other products like HP makes a PC that has TV tuner cards in it, and it connects, and you can actually watch TV essentially on a PC and then look at, you know, internet sites
with
while you're doing
sling
that.
Card or whatever.
There's a Sling Box, which is another device that's out there that lets you watch TV streaming across the internet from your laptop. And I'm just interested to know from both of you, where do you see this going? I mean, do you think at some point there it's all going to converge and TV, radio, and internet will really just be one thing? Or do you think they'll stay separate and kind of what are your thoughts on that?
I think convergence is in the works, guys, no doubt about it. I'll give you an example. There's a company called iProvo that's in my area, and they are, well, it's a complicated story, but the city owns the fiber, but then they have private internet providers that provide all the technology that goes on top of that, quote, utility, if you will. Now, one of the companies that I work with is called Veracity, and Veracity has TV, internet, and phone all in a bundle. So for $110 or $99, or, you know, it just depends on which TV channel set you subscribe to, you get this whole bundle. Well, they're now adding services, and this is the reason that I bring it up. They're adding services where when you're watching TV, in the bottom right corner when the phone rings, it'll flash the caller ID phone number of the person calling in on your TV.
Wow.
And so they're doing more and more of that kind of convergence where you can get stuff on demand that comes from the TV thing, but your phone's integrated so that you can basically listen to your voicemail on your PC from the internet piece because it can send you a wave of your recorded voice messages. They're doing more and more of that convergence, but that's the latest thing I thought that was pretty new, is, hey, while you're watching TV, when a call comes in, you might not find the cordless, but you can certainly see the caller ID of who's calling on your TV.
Wow.
Pretty neat stuff, I think, and I do believe convergence is here. Jay, what do you think?
I agree. I definitely think convergence is coming. I've seen standalone pieces that do that kind of stuff where you can put the caller ID on your television, but I think that everything will come from one place. Now, whether it comes from fiber at your door or whether it comes from your phone company or cable company, who knows, but everything is going to be, I think, IP or TV will be delivered by IP. I think that your phone, your internet, fax, I mean, everything is going to be coming together in one thing. You know, you're talking about those HP computers with the tuner cards. I just recently bought one of those. I think it's pretty neat. I think it's fantastic to be able to have that kind of stuff. I mean, the HP that I have has a detachable remote, and where the laptop I had before would play DVDs, it just didn't really have good speakers, and you really couldn't do it. I tried it a couple of times at hotels and stuff. But this one with a remote that comes right out of the side of it and everything else, it's much more DVD-ready as well as a laptop and everything else, and it's kind of, we're already seeing that convergence now.
Yeah, and you wonder that with that, the increase in competition that's inevitably going to mean, and how the response to that is going to be. And, you know, something as simple as advertising, when you take TiVo and you bring that into the mix and people can watch a show and they can skip right over those commercials, and then you start to see more product placement, and you kind of almost wonder what this landscape's going to look like in another 10 years.
I think it's going to be shorter commercials woven into the fabric of the programs on the fly, Sam Bushman, TechWatchRadio.com, just like that, so to speak, where you can't take it out.
I know the convergence for me, really, the big thing about that is I've had a lifetime goal to try and make my living room as close to the bridge of the Enterprise as possible. And so I'm thinking if I can get my PC and my TV hooked up, and then I can somehow build my remote into the actual arm of my chair, that I'm just a short way away from being Captain Kirk. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because then you can't wonder. You
must have filled. The kids can't steal it and lose it for you.
So what do you guys got in store this week on the radio show this Saturday? Do you have any special guests or anything that did you want to talk about?
Jay?
Well, I don't know that we're having any special guests. I know that we're going to be talking about several different articles. You know, we put that stuff a lot of times together on Thursdays and Fridays. But
I do have one thing. I know Microsoft just released a story saying they're really getting behind making sure that VoIP, or phone over the Internet, is going to become ubiquitous. In other words, they say right now it's good, but you know what? It doesn't work as advertised. It's not as stable as it should be. And they've got this big initiative with a hardware manufacturer to change that. I think that's a huge story.
Yeah. We're also going to be talking about Bus Radio, which is a startup company in Massachusetts that's bringing radio to school buses, and talk about the ins and outs and the pros and cons of that. And
in other words, captive students on the government school bus listening to, well, bus radio, whatever that consists of and means.
Kind of like Channel 1 sort of stuff.
Yeah.
For school, so that's one thing.
Yeah, we'll also be talking about Behringer, which in radio they're bringing out a whole new line of mixers. We're going to be talking about some of that stuff too.
Yeah, right. Behringer's doing some neat things to decrease the cost of radio gear, mixers and all kinds of things. That's going to be one thing we'll be discussing. So there's a bunch of things. I want to discuss a little bit more about email. It seems to me that all the email programs are becoming too complex. I just want to go back to simplicity.
I'm all for simplicity. That's one of the things that, we often preach about. So definitely check them out. Sam and Jay, we'd like to thank you again for joining us today. And you can check out their show on techwatchradio.com. Thanks so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Thank you guys. We appreciate it. Talk at techwatchradio.com. Email us anytime. We'd love to help, and we'd love to appear regularly and have you guys on our show continually as well.
Great. Thanks so much. We'll take you up on that.
All right, folks. Next week, that was Jay and Sam. Next week, we're going to be talking about failing to plan is planning to fail. Business continuity in the changing world of work.
That's right. So join us next week. I'm Phil Montero.
I'm Jason Montero.
And remember, this is the Anywhere Office. And remember, work is something you do, not someplace you go.
Montero Consulting would like to thank you for listening to the Anywhere Office. To contact Phil or Jason, visit theanywhereoffice.com.